Welcome to the ProPublica podcast. I am Eric Umansky, an editor here at ProPublica, and I am here with Marianne Wang, our education reporter, who has been looking at how universities use financial aid to benefit, at times, themselves and not students who need it the most. Welcome, Marianne.
Thanks, Eric.
So do you want to talk about the latest story, which we may or may not have worked on together?
Yes. So we just published a story yesterday focusing on a particular regulation that was not known to a lot of people, it seems, but it's a regulation that tells universities that participate in federal financial aid programs that they're supposed to be detailing to students the criteria by which they decide how financial aid gets dispersed to students. So that includes how they choose the recipients of financial aid, as well as how they determine how much financial aid a given student gets. And that applies not only to federal funds, but also state financial aid. And what we're focusing on has been institutional financial aid, so the institution's resources that they give out in the form of grants or scholarships.
How much the universities give out themselves
right.
in grants.
Right.
And you tell me, but as I recall, one of the things that we, you know, noticed was there is this regulation that is on the books, this, as you point out, forgotten regulation, but that the lay of the land right now is that universities actually tend to disclose very few details about the underlying formulas and that they're using, right?
So it varies really widely based on the schools, but for the most part, if you go to university websites and look at their financial aid pages, they don't say a lot, you know, or the most they'll say is this scholarship is dependent on merit or this scholarship is dependent on need-based financial aid as well. But that really doesn't tell you how they decide who gets it out of eligible applicants and how they determine exactly the amount that you get. You know, the federal formula for financial aid is pretty much a set formula. And whether you go to one school versus another school, you're going to get the same amount.
Just based on your income.
Yeah, based heavily on income and, you know, your financial details. But the schools have their institutional methodologies for deciding how they give out aid. And that's something that isn't open to the public. We don't really know how different schools are deciding. And we don't know what's driving the decision behind giving one student, you know, $5,000 and another student $10,000.
Right. At the end of the day, why does that matter both from a student's perspective, but also from a kind of policy perspective?
Well, the funny thing is, if you go on college forums, this is clearly something that students and their families want to know. The college application process is just kind of a crazy process to begin with, where you have to sort of look at this range of options and narrow them down without really knowing how much it's going to cost you. And this is something that savvier, more cost-conscious consumers are going to want to know before they narrow their options down and feel sort of ultimately locked into something that they may or may not be able to afford.
And the other issue, and this gets at something broader that you've been dealing with, when you had first started reporting on how universities are using financial aid, we were in fact talking about things like their merit aid. And I always thought, oh, well, merit aid means, you know, you did very well on the SAT, and isn't that wonderful? But one of the things that's been fascinating to me is that merit aid isn't just that, that universities are using aid and often merit aid to do what's called financial leveraging. Explain that to me.
So I think the popular conception of financial aid, when you hear that, you're like, oh, aid to those who need finances. And that is increasingly not the case in higher education. You see private institutions have sort of gone far down this route of sort of increasingly using merit aid to sort of attract students that fit what the institution wants. You know, so if the institution's goal is to rise higher in rankings, and who doesn't want to do that, then they bring in students that will sort of help them with that. You know, whether it's their scores that will sort of bump up the school's scores on average, and that's all factored into the U.S. News rankings, for instance, which have, I think in the last year, actually begun to weight standardized test scores even more heavily. You see them going after and throwing their money behind their own goals. And if that means giving higher scoring students more money, that's often the case. We've had financial aid administrators tell us that, yeah, you know, we have in the past given out small merit scholarships to out-of-state students who don't necessarily need the financial aid, but, you know, they would ultimately bring in as a discount to sort of attract them in to our institution, because even after the discount, they would be paying more than our full pay in-state students. Right. So it really depends on an institution's goals. If they're revenue driven, then that's going to change how their financial aid strategy. If they're more rankings driven, that may also change their strategy. I've had financial aid administrators say, well, it really, really depends. Like, what if we want more gender balance? What if we want to fill out a program? It really depends on what those goals are. But I think...
But often the goals are not about, not in all cases, but many times these are goals that are different from helping the students that need it most.
Right. If you're dead set on filling a particular program, you know, maybe you're giving scholarships or offering scholarships to students on that basis, you know, but that's not looking at whether that student is actually the one that needs it most at your institution.
Right. One of the things, and if you want to just sort of briefly recount the story that you did last year, you looked at data from roughly over a decade in terms of state universities and how much of their aid was going to low-income brackets. And you want to just briefly recount that?
So we were looking at data from the U.S. Department of Ed that gives snapshots every 4 years. And over time, I think it was a period of 16 years, we saw a greater proportion of grants going to students in the highest income categories, in the highest income quartile. And a decreasing share of those grants were going to the poorest students at state universities.
Yeah, that was to me a remarkable finding, remarkably sobering. And meanwhile, no surprise then at the end of the day that universities often are less than excited to throw out the details of what they're doing and the mechanisms of what they're doing. But as you point out, there is this potential regulation that could be used if the Department of Ed decided to do so to force universities to lay out further details. But you want to recount what the Department of Ed's response to that was?
Well, so we had heard from a former congressional liaison in the Department of Ed's Office of Legislation. So he used to work directly in matters of interpreting the law and enforcing the law and regulations related to higher education law. And he was of the opinion that the Department of Ed could easily give this regulation some teeth by clarifying what it means, because right now it's a bit vague and universities clearly aren't, you know, even though this regulation is on the books, they're clearly not disclosing many details about how they make these financial aid decisions. And so when I approached the Department of Education and asked them this, the spokeswoman there, she deflected and didn't really answer the question. When we're even asking...
I mean, just to be clear, she didn't sort of deflect. They didn't answer the question.
We asked, what's your current interpretation of this regulation and what do schools actually have to disclose right now? And she answered something completely different, pointing us to sort of this tool that was developed a couple years ago by the Department of Ed that they've encouraged schools to voluntarily adopt. And it is a sort of transparency tool, but it doesn't get at quite the same things that our reporting has sort of focused on, which is what are schools' priorities when they pick who gets financial aid from the institution and who doesn't, or who gets more and who gets less. They're actually choosing winners and losers, and we want to better understand that. And we think students should be picking institutions that have them sort of as a priority. Or, you know, if I were a student, at least, I would want to know who is getting aid at my school and on what basis I am getting less. You know, she sort of pointed us to a different tool that the Department of Ed has rolled out that sort of helps. It's essentially a model financial aid award letter spelling out what's a grant and what's a loan and what's, you know, a work
study.
But
it doesn't get to the fundamental issue of what criteria they're using.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't get to that.
Is there anything that students and parents could or should do to try to navigate this stuff better? Or is it really just a question of, you know, there needs to be a kind of higher level solution to it?
That's a good question. I think, for one, there are a couple tools out there that could possibly help. It depends. There's a tool called the Net Price Calculator, which in the past few years, it's a recent thing that schools have had to adopt because of legislation. And the quality of them and the accuracy of them is very mixed. If you go through the trouble of finding each school's net price calculator, which a lot of advocates for students have pointed out, it's not easy to find on schools' websites. And sometimes it takes a while because you have to enter information for every single school separately. And it's not like a centralized thing where you can enter your information once and then it calculates it for all 10 schools that you're interested in. Currently, it's kind of school by school. You have to go look for it. Only the most savvy and sort of, you know, on top of it, parents and students actually go through the trouble of doing this. And you input your information and they essentially spit out sort of an early estimate. Schools emphasize as an estimate of what your financial aid package may look like. Now, it varies a lot depending on what school it is and how much detail they ask for on the front end of that calculator. If they ask for more detail, it may be more accurate, but it may also take a much longer time and discourage people from actually finishing it. So it's kind of an imperfect tool, but it's one that's there if students and families are willing to put in the time. The other thing I would be personally very interested in is if a lot more parents and students, prospective students or current students, actually looked at our story and read this regulation and said, you know, I'm interested in this information. If they wanted to, perhaps they could ask the school, cite the regulation. It's intended for schools to disclose this to current and prospective students. So it would be interesting to see if, when the regulation is actually being cited to them, what they do.
Okay, so you hear that, students and parents. You guys have an assignment. Go ask for the details and then report back to us.
Report back to us. That's right.
Thank you, Marriott, for being on the show.
Of course.
So for anybody who wants to see more coverage or wants to get in touch with Marianne to learn more or share their experiences, go to our website, ProPublica.org, or you can reach out to Marianne Wang herself at Marianne.Wang@ProPublica.org.